This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Called House Local Government to order at this time. Want to say thank you for our internet listeners, all the masses that have been out there waiting because we are 20 minutes late at this time. Make sure that you turn off your cell phones or any devices that you have to vibrate or off. Secretary, please call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representatives Bruner, Craig,
here.
Greenfield,
here.
Hawks,
here.
Heineman,
here.
Marty,
aye.
Quam,
here.
Rosem,
here.
Shane Fish, Soli,
here.
Tolson,
I've been here 20 minutes.
Otten,
here.
Konzig,
here. We have a quorum with the majority of the members elect present. Chair will now entertain a motion for approval of the minutes. It's been moved by Representative Heineman and seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion? Seeing none, any those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. At this point, we're going to have the pages come up and introduce themselves and tell us where you're going, what you're doing.
All right. My name is Megan Thornhill. I'm from Newell, and I'm going to go to the School of Mines to be a chemical engineer.
I'm from Nisland. You can say Nisland.
Okay, Nisland.
My name's Hannah Carlson. I go to Parker, South Dakota. I'm a senior, hopefully going to University of Iowa next year, looking into dentistry.
Thanks so much for your service. I am from Fort Pierre, and I never claim that I'm from Pierre, so take pride in your town. Anybody that's testifying today, please make sure that you sign into the back. All questions will be brought through the chair. At this point, I'm going to refer to our calendar. We are going to defer 11:94, 11:95, and 11:96 until Thursday. So, committee, that puts us with about 12 bills in the next three meetings. So we'll have a heavy agenda. We will be coming in early. I'm doing that as a courtesy for the sponsor. And then now, Madam Secretary, would you like a personal privilege?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would love to recognize my granddaughter, Lauren Rink, who is a page. Stand, Lauren, please. And the senior class from James Valley Christian School in Huron. Please stand, please. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, welcome to your capital. It's good to see you're here participating in the process, even though it is a bit boring. We are going to go ahead and we're going to suspend the rules on House Bill 1106. House Bill 1106 was in front of this committee, and if you will remember, it was the Spook Road Bill. So I'm looking for a suspension of rules to consider putting House Bill 1106 on the agenda for today. At this point, we will need a voice or a motion to vote on reconsideration of House Bill 1106.
Motion to put it on the agenda.
Motion to put it on the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Hawks, seconded by Representative Otten, to suspend the rules and put House Bill 1106 on the agenda today. We will do a roll call vote on this. Madam Secretary.
Representative Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty. Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish excused. Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Konzig.
Aye. At this point, the count is?
12 yay, 1 excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. House Bill 1106 is now back on the agenda with 2/3 vote in favor. Now, the chair is looking for a motion at this time to reconsider the vote on sending to the 41st day on House Bill 1106. This.
First.
We got a motion from Representative Otten.
Second.
Seconded from Representative Hawks. The motion at hand is reconsider House Bill 1106, the vote to the 41st day. Roll call vote, Madam Secretary.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish excused. Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Madam Chair, 12 yea, 1 excused.
So at this point, the vote was?
12 yea, 1 excused.
Thank you very much. So we are now going to do committee discussion on House Bill 1106, and I'm going to explain why we're doing this. The bill has already come to the committee, and at this point we've been asked to refer it to another committee. So it will be moving over to taxation at this point. It's nothing that this committee did or anything that we have to reconsider at this time. It might be something that you would have to reconsider on the House floor, maybe under a different title. So motion to refer 1106 to the Committee on Taxation.
So moved.
It's been moved by Representative Hawks.
Second.
Seconded by Representative Greenfield. Voice vote?
No.
Okay, no vote? Okay, roll call vote at this time, Madam Secretary.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish excused. Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
The vote is 12 yea, 1 excused.
So at this point, House Bill 1106 is moving over to taxation. We'll now open it up for public hearing and testimony on House Bill 1156, require municipalities to reimburse the counties for certain judicial and law enforcement expenditures. Proponent testimony. Welcome, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Representative Don Hager, District 10. I do have a handout that I'm going to ask the pages to circulate. You know, I bring before you today House Bill 1156. 1156 is in essence, it's a clone of Senate Bill 84. And the body of the bill, the proposed legislation, is one of the recommendations of the County Interim Study Committee from this summer. And the Senate bill version was sent to Joint Appropriations. And I just felt it was important enough that it warranted a policy committee discussion. And, of course, local government is exactly where it belongs. And so I was thankful that the bill was assigned to this committee. Here's the background of what the bill does. When you think of law enforcement, and law enforcement is one of the big expenses at the county level, and it's a problem. As we all know, the counties have had some financial difficulties. They've had significantly increasing costs in the areas of law enforcement over the past few years. And in fact, the challenges with county governments funding their operations is exactly why we had an interim study on it. And that committee did I think yeoman's work. They came up with some excellent ideas, and so I want to commend the chairwoman for handling that over the summer. And this is, as I mentioned, one more of those recommended bills that came out of the study committee. Now, here's. Let me just illustrate for you before we get into we can use the sheet. Because what happens if someone in Sioux Falls, the city of Sioux Falls, we use that as an example, gets arrested for a crime, the municipal policeman makes that arrest, and then that individual is booked into a county jail. That crime is prosecuted by a county-funded state's attorney. that crime is defended, potentially, by a county-funded public defender. So as soon as that crime occurs within the municipalities, at that point, it's all a county expense. And as you might imagine, as the population increases, so does the burden on the county. Now, traditionally, that expense has always been borne by the county, the expense of law enforcement, the expense of jails. This bill is an idea that I like to call just thinking outside the box. You know, maybe this is a time, maybe the time has come where we rethink what those responsibilities are and who should bear the cost of some of those challenges. If we look at the handout, what I've given you here is an example of a tale of three counties. Think of it as a tale of three counties. And we've got a large county, Minnehaha. We've got a small county, Brule. And we have a medium-sized county, Lawrence. And so just to explain what these numbers are, I took the three most common, or the seven most common line item expenditures on the county side, you know, the judicial system, the public defender, court-appointed attorney, abused and neglected child defense, other legal services, county jail, and juvenile detention. And what I have there, this is from the legislative audit book, it's a four-year total of those expenses. So if you look at Minnehaha County over the 4 years from 2011 to 2014, they spent nearly $70 million on law enforcement-related costs. Are you with me? Okay. So, glad someone caught that. And then if you look at Brule County, those total costs over the 4 years are $1.6 million. And if you look at Lawrence County, $6.8 million. Now, so if you divide that by four, you would get an annualized cost. But then look at also the populations of those respective cities. Sioux Falls, 168,000. You've got Chamberlain, which is the major city or municipality in Brule County, and that's 2,400 people. And then, of course, Spearfish, 11,000 in Lawrence County. And then you look at the county population, and you can see those numbers there. And basically what it boils down to is Minnehaha makes up over 90% of the population. I'm sorry, Sioux Falls makes up 90% of the population of Minnehaha County, with all due respect to Hartford. Brule County, the city of Chamberlain, is 45% of that population. And in Lawrence County, the proportion is similar, 45%. So what this bill would do is it would say, okay, municipality, what we're going to ask you to do is we're going to ask you to bear that pro rata portion of those expenses as a function of your population as it relates to the county population. So, for example, if we apply that 92% to the $70 million, the $69 million in Minnehaha County would then bear $64 million of the law enforcement-related costs over that four-year period. And if we annualize it, it's about $16 million a year. Likewise, Brule County would pay about $188,000 a year. And Lawrence County would, or I'm sorry, Spearfish would pay about $750,000. So that's the math to this, and it's a starting point. You know, it's just to me an indication that we ought to have the cities contribute more than they currently contribute to these expenses, and because certainly they have revenues that are more elastic, that are more. I think there's more dollars available in the municipalities than there are in the counties as they're currently funded. And so that's where this bill came from. So I hope you'll support the bill. You know, I will notice that I will point out that the governor's office isn't here opposing the bill. So you can draw whatever conclusion you want about that. I like to imply that maybe they support it, but that's probably not fair. So But anyway, I do hope you'll give this favorable consideration. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Hager. Now that we've decided that you do not speak on behalf of the governor's office, we'll go ahead and move on with further proponent testimony on House Bill 1156. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of committee. Bob Wilcox with South Dakota County Commission Association. I'm here on not as a proponent or an opponent, but I'm certainly here to thank Representative Hager for thinking outside the box as far as and knowing and realizing the problems that we at the county level currently are suffering due to our law enforcement issues. The summer study worked on a number of bills this year. There are some that have already started to work through the system that we're working very hard to help shepherd the rest of the way. And so with that, Madam Chair, I just want to publicly thank again Representative Hager for his hard work on this issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Further proponent testimony on 1156. Proponent testimony? Seeing none at this time, we will move into opponent testimony on House Bill 1156. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. Madam Chairman, I have a handout, if I may. Madam Chairman, we're asking that you oppose 1156, and we have 55 million reasons for you to do that. This bill would take certain county costs for public safety items, and statewide those costs add up to $70 million a year. And it would require cities to pay for them based on a pro rata share of city population to the total county population. If you look at this on a statewide basis, 70% of our population lives inside an incorporated municipality. So this amounts to a $55 million shift in taxes onto the backs of that in-town population. The in-town folks are already paying their share of county taxes. In the larger counties, up to 83% of the county property taxes are paid by people who live inside of city limits. City residents are also paying extensively for public safety costs of their own. And if you look at the handout, we didn't do that for this bill. We did it for another one that we're working on this year. But it shows that cities are spending more than the state general fund. And you can see the breakdown of what those expenditures are for. And if you look at the public safety costs, or emergency services, it's called on there, you can see that that's almost twice as much as the counties are paying for their public safety costs. And so we are paying for police, fire, ambulance, to the tune of about $144 million in 2014. It is double the amount of the county's costs. We know that the counties are struggling for funding, and we know that $40 million of their costs are simply a bill that's been handed to them by the state because it's the court costs. And if you wanted to work on a solution to that, I think we would be happy to help support that. We have looked for ways to help our friends in the counties with the issues they have, but we don't think taking money from one local entity that needs the funding and giving it to another local entity that needs the funding is the way to answer that problem. This bill, to our mind, isn't even robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's robbing Peter twice. You shouldn't be punished with more than double taxes just because you choose to live inside of city limits. And so we would ask you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponent testimony on House Bill 1156. Opponent testimony? Seeing none at this time, we will allow for a rebuttal.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Again, Don Hager, District 10. You know, and I made the point, I think, initially, that certainly there are a lot of expenses that arise because of population, and law enforcement costs are the primary, one of the primary costs that come. It's a cost of growth. It is. And this is just a recognition that with growth comes additional responsibility. And I think that things are changing and evolving to where our traditional idea of county governments and city governments needs to be reevaluated. And this is a way to do that. This is a way to do that and achieve goals in as we see those things evolve. It's not a tax increase. This doesn't involve this thing does not involve any state dollars whatsoever, but it does allow and require additional cooperation between local units of government. And so that's why I brought this bill. You know, Ms. Taylor made the point that cities certainly are incurring a significant amount of expense, and they do. They spend a lot of money. In fact, I think of my own city, City of Sioux Falls, under Mayor Heather, the annual budget in 1 year went from $405 million to $465 million. That's something like a 12-13% increase in 1 year. And so my point about that is they certainly had ample revenue enough to, here in Pierre, if we increase our budget 3% a year, that's considered a lot. And in 1 year, they increased their budget over 12%. I would suggest to you that they could find the revenue to share some of these law enforcement costs, and that's why this bill has been brought today. So I do hope you'll send it on for further discussion.
Thank you, Representative. At this point, we'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Bruner.
Question for the sponsor. Bill. Representative Hager, would this pertain to every small town, even if they have no law enforcement within that city, every small town in South Dakota would be affected by this?
Thank you for the, Madam Chairman. Thank you for the question. And as written, the short answer is yes, it does. To the extent that population of that municipality is a proportionate value of the county population. So, for example, if it's 5% of the county population, they would incur 5% of the costs, and so on.
Follow up. Seeing none at this time, Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you know how much total county tax is paid by the city, the whole city of Sioux Falls, or any of these cities into the county? Do you have them figures?
Madam Chairman, I do not. And certainly, certainly there's a recognition that the counties do get revenue from the value of real estate within the boundaries of a municipality, and certainly they do benefit from that, unless there's a tax increment financing district, in which case some of those might be shifted, some of those values or dollars might be shifted a little bit to folks outside the boundaries of the TIF. But other than that, there is a contribution there.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me to. Do any cities and counties negotiate these fees?
Madam Chairman, and that, in my mind, is the million-dollar question. And I think the answer is no. And I've suggested to counties that they should go to their municipalities and ask for assistance specifically for this. They'll all tell you that they cooperate and that they exchange certain services, or one will provide a service for 911 and the other will provide a service for a county library or something of that nature. But when it comes to asking for a line item support of this sort of thing, I don't believe that that's happened. Because I've asked the counties, and I've also asked the cities if they've offered. And I get no in both cases, which is part of the reason, again, that this bill is here.
Representative Rosum, you look like you might have a burning question.
I don't have a question, I have a comment.
Okay, we'll wait for that portion then. Any further questions from the committee? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This would be for Ms. Taylor. Madam Chair. Ms. Taylor, we've had a kind of a domino effect here where the state has passed court costs on to the counties. The counties have now are wanting to involve the municipalities. Who catches the ball next? Do you have any idea?
Madam Chairman, what we've been saying is that the court costs that are incurred by the counties, that's not a correct phrase. They're not incurred by the counties. The court costs, the state unified the judicial system back in the 70s, and they pulled everything up to the state level except the bill, and they handed that to the counties. We think if you're going to have a unified judicial system, you should probably pay for it at that level. And so we really think it would only be fair if the state picked up that $40 million.
Follow up. If the municipalities were to be charged this, could it possibly be assessed, passed along to the customers in the city somehow, some special fee or some such thing?
Madam Chairman? We operate under the same property tax caps as the counties do, and we do have a sales tax, but I think you can see by the handout that we are using the revenue that we receive, and that also is capped, and we are not allowed to opt out of that. And so I don't know where the funding would come from other than current services.
Any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing portion of House Bill 1156 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Rosum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sitting here thinking about a past legislator, and we know that Minnehaha County has been in a world of hurt for a long time. We know that Sioux Falls is it is the shopping mecca of eastern South Dakota, and I think we have three major shopping areas in our state, Aberdeen to the north and Rapid City. So to me, this bill has the potential for significant unintended consequences with our smaller communities that do provide law enforcement. And I can speak for my own city because I was on that council. And we do pick up some slack within the city that really would be county costs, but they don't have the money to do it. And so to me, it comes back to the fact that from the state level, we mandate 80% of what counties do. We fund it at 19%. That's where the disconnect is, I think. Although I will agree with you that in Minnehaha County, to me, there ought to be some discussion between the council and the county and recognizing what the significant issues are there. So for that reason, it would be a no vote. Not that I don't support this thought process, because I think it's really good.
Thank you, Representative Rosum. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I've had conversation with different county commissioners from different places, and I asked them the very question that Representative Tolson asked about, well, because they talk about how they don't get anything from the municipalities and, you know, they push everything back on. I said, well, have you ever had any dialogue? Well, no, we've never tried to collect anything from them. And have they ever offered? Well, no, they've never offered to do anything. So there is some issues there that I think if there could be dialogue between them, that might solve some of this problem. You know, I said, well, why don't you ask? Well, it's never been done before. Well, maybe you should ask and then see what they say. But there are certainly issues out there with passing costs on to the county and not helping out with that. So there are definitely issues there.
Thank you, Representative. Further comments on behalf of the committee? I'm going to wade in at this point as the chairwoman of the committee this summer on funding for counties. This bill was a summer study bill, but normally when it comes to summer studies, the bills are carried by members of the committee. With all due respect, Senator Haggard Your daughter carried the bill, and you were over here representing her. This came out a 7-6 vote. I was the deciding vote just to continue the discussion. One thing I found out about through the vetting of this bill, South Dakotans are just nice people. We're good people. We, a sheriff in Pennington County calls somebody, a parole, you know, parole officer in Pennington County calls a sheriff up in, you know, Buffalo and says that they need to check on a parolee. That sheriff goes and does it just because we are nice people. But that financially does not weigh well on the Nice People Act. So that is the reason that I voted to get this bill to the floor. I would ask that you at least entertain the idea of it, although I do see the financial burdens that would come back on the municipality and robbing Peter to pay Peter, the same thing. I get that argument also, but I would ask that you would at least consider the fact that we have an A to Z. We've got one group at A and one group at Z that we would further discussion. So go ahead and obviously vote your conscience and what represents you the best. At this time, we will go ahead. Any further comments? Seeing none. At this time, in front of you is a motion to...
No, I don't have a motion.
Oh.
Madam okay. Chairman, I move to pass.
Oquam?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Craig. The motion in front of you is do pass on House Bill 1156. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary.
Representatives Bruner.
No.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Nay.
Hawks.
No.
Heineman.
No.
Marty.
No.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
No.
Shane Fish.
No.
Soli.
No.
Tulson.
No.
Otten.
No.
Consett.
Aye.
The vote is 3 yea, 10 nay.
Representative Hawks, you had to do that before. Substitute motion, new motion.
New motion.
Okay, motion made by Representative Hawks. Would you state that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would refer this to the 41st day.
Seconded by Representative Bruner. Any discussion? Representative Bruner? The motion beforehand is move House Bill 1156 to the 41st day. The chair at this point will ask for a roll call.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Nay.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
No.
Rosem.
No.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Aye. Soli.
Aye.
Tulson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Nay.
The vote is 9 yea, 4 nay.
House Bill, the motion in front of us is House Bill 1156, moved to the 41st day, passes. Anything else to consider on behalf of the committee? Seeing none at this time, the chair will take a motion to leave. It's been moved by Representative Rosem and seconded by Representative Greenfield at this time. Thank you for attending. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.